Boys. Today's great play and great music, The Pirates of Penzance by Gilbert and Sullivan. A drama guide giving important factual and background material relating to each of the 28 great plays on this series is available as a listener's aid at the cost price of 25 cents. Coin or money order to be sent in care of Great Plays, Columbia University Press, New York City. The play's the thing, even when the music is by Sir Arthur Sullivan, for half of that glorious team was William Schwenk Gilbert, whose wit, words, and stage skill made frame and picture equally with Sullivan's music. The Pirates of Penzance is Anglo-Americana, surely. The play, the text or libretto, was born on England's shores in that fertile Gilbertian mind, but much of the music was composed in a running stream of inspiration right here in the United States, in New York City, where Gilbert and Sullivan had come to present a previous joint creation, His Majesty's Ship Pinafore. Act One of the Pirates takes us to the outskirts of a real town, Penzance, on the Cornish coast in South England. A sparkling sea breaks over the rocks where our pirate company has come ashore.
Now he's rising, and alone he's fit to fly, which we're bent on signalizing with a usual rival ride.
It's the lock of Frederick, 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 out of his intention. For a king, the pirate man, will a king, the pirate man, and the king to make a merry land, the pirate on the land.
Yes, Frederick. From today, you rank as a full-blown member of our pirate band.
My friends, I thank you all from my heart for your kindly wishes. Would that I could repay them as they deserve.
What do you mean?
Today, I am out of my apprenticeship, and today I leave you forever.
Leave us?
Forever.
Oh, but this is quite unaccountable. A keener hand at scuttling a liner never shipped a handspike.
Yes, I have done my best for you. And why? It was my duty as your apprentice, and I am the slave of duty. As a child, I was regularly apprenticed to your band. It was through an error. No matter. The mistake was not yours, and I was in honor bound by it.
An error? What error?
I may not tell you. It would reflect upon my well-loved Ruth.
Nay, dear master, my mind has long been gnawed by the cankering tooth of mystery. Better have it out at once.
When Frederick was a little lad, he proved so brave and daring. His father thought he'd apprentice him to some career seafaring. I was, alas, his nursery maid, and so it fell to my lot to take and bind this promising boy, apprentice to a pilot. A life not bad for a hardy lad, though surely not a high lot. Though I'm a nurse, you might do worse than make your boy a pirate. I was a stupid nursery maid, on breakers always steering. And I did not catch the word aright through being hard of hearing. Mistaking my instructions, which within my brain did gyrate, I took and bound this promising boy, apprentice to a pirate. A sad mistake it was to make and doom him to a vile lot. I bound him to a pirate's queue instead of to a pilot. Frederick, I kneel at your feet. Pardon, oh, pardon me.
Rise, sweet one. I have long pardoned you.
Oh, Frederick, the words pilot and pirate were so much alike.
They still are, though years have rolled over their heads. But this afternoon, my obligation ceases. Individually, I love you all with affection unspeakable. But collectively, I look upon you with a disgust that amounts to absolute detestation. Oh, pity me, my beloved friend. For such is my sense of duty that once out of my apprentice state, I shall feel myself bound to devote myself heart and soul to your extermination.
Poor lad! Poor lad!
Well, Frederick, if you conscientiously feel that it is your duty to destroy us, we cannot blame you for acting on that conviction. Always act in accordance with the dictates of your conscience, my boy, and chance the consequences.
Besides, we can offer you but little temptation to remain with us. We don't seem to make piracy pay. I'm sure, I don't know why, but we don't.
I know why, Samuel. But alas, I mustn't tell you. It would not be right.
Why not, my boy? It's only 11:30, and you are one of us until the clock strikes 12.
True, and until then, you're bound to protect our interests.
Hear, hear, hear!
Well, then, it is my duty as a pirate to tell you that you are too tender-hearted.
Huh?
For instance, you make a point of never attacking a weaker party than yourself. And when you attack a stronger party, you invariably get thrashed.
There is some truth in that.
Then again, you make a point of never molesting an orphan.
Well, of course. We're orphans ourselves and know what it is.
Yes, but it has got about. And what is the consequence? Everyone we capture says he's an orphan. The last 3 ships we took proved to be manned entirely by orphans. So we had to let them go. One would think that Great Britain's mercantile navy was recruited solely from her orphan asylum, which we know is not the case.
But hang it all, you wouldn't have us absolutely merciless.
There's my difficulty. Until 12 o'clock, I would. After 12 o'clock, I wouldn't. Was ever a man placed in so delicate a situation?
And Ruth, your own Ruth, whom you love so well and who has won her middle-aged way into your boyish heart, what is to become of her?
Oh, Frederick will take you with him.
Well, Ruth, I feel some little difficulty about you. It is true that I admire you very much. But I have been constantly at sea since I was 8 years old. And yours is the only woman's face I have seen during that time. I think it is a sweet face.
It is. Oh, it is.
I say, I think it is. That is my impression. But as I have never had an opportunity of comparing you with other women, it is just possible I may be mistaken.
True.
What a terrible thing it would be if I were to marry this innocent person and then find out that she is, on the average, quite plain.
Oh, Ruth is very well. Very well indeed.
Yes, there are the remains of a fine woman about, Ruth.
Do you really think so? Then I will not be so selfish as to take her from you. In justice to her and in consideration for you, I will leave her behind. Take her.
No, no, Frederick. This must not be. We are rough men who lead a rough life, but we are not so utterly heartless as to deprive thee of thy love. I think I am right in saying that there is not one here who would deprive thee of this inestimable treasure.
Not one!
No, I thought there wasn't. Keep thy love, Frederick. Keep thy love.
You're very good, I'm sure.
Well, it's the top of the tide, and we must be off. Farewell, Frederick. When your process of extermination begins, let our deaths be as swift and painless as you can conveniently make them.
Oh, I will. By the love I have for you, I swear it. Would that you could render this extermination unnecessary by accompanying me back to civilization.
No, Frederick, it cannot be. I don't think much of our profession. But contrasted with respectability, it is comparatively honest. No, Frederick, I shall live and die a pirate king.
Oh, better far to live and die under the brave black flag I fly than play a sanctimonious part with a pirate head and a pirate heart. Away to the cheating world go you. Where pirates all are well-to-do, but I'll be true to the song I sing and live and die a pirate king. For I am a pirate king. As it is a glorious thing to be a pirate king. For I am a pirate king. And it is a glorious thing to be a pirate king.
It is hurrah for the pirate king.
Hurrah for the pirate king.
Oh, take me with you. I cannot live if I am left behind.
Ruth, I will be quite candid with you. You are very dear to me, as you know. But I must be circumspect. You see, you are considerably older than I. A lad of 21 usually looks for a wife of 17.
A wife of 17? You'll find me a wife of 1,000.
No, but I shall find you a wife of 47, and that is quite enough now.
Ruth,
tell me candidly and without reserve, compared with other women, are you beautiful?
I've been told so, dear master.
Ah, but lately?
Oh, no. But years and years ago.
But what do you think yourself?
It's a delicate question to answer, but I think I'm a fine woman.
That is your candid opinion?
Yes. I should be deceiving you if I told you otherwise.
Thank you, Ruth. I believe you, for I am sure you would not practice on my inexperience. I wish to do the right thing, and if you are really a fine woman, your age shall be no obstacle to our union. And here is my hand on that. Hark! Surely I hear voices. Who has ventured to approach our all but inaccessible lair? Can it be Custom House? No, it does not sound like Custom House.
Confusion. It's the voices of young girls. If you should see them, I am lost.
Where can they be? What sort of voices are they? They sound like... By all that's marvelous, a bevy of beautiful maidens.
Lost.
How lovely. How surpassingly lovely is the plainest of them. What grace, what delicacy, what refinement. And Ruth. Ruth told me she was beautiful.
Ah, false one, you have deceived me.
I have deceived you.
Yes, deceived me. You told me you were fair as gold.
And master, am I not gold?
And now I see you're plain and old.
I'm sure I'm not a jocko.
Upon my innocence you play.
I'm not the one to plot so.
Your face is lined, your hair is gray.
Gradually got so.
Faith is one and two deceive me. I who trusted so.
Master, do not leave me, fear me ere I go.
Faithless woman,
master,
faithless woman,
master,
faithless woman, who deceive me, I who trusted so. Faithless woman, who deceive me, I who trusted so.
Begone.
Oh, Frederick, I go. I go.
What shall I do? Before these gentle maidens, I dare not show myself in this alarming costume. No, no, I must remain in close concealment until I can appear in decent clothing.
Rocket passes by the heart. And I wonder where Papa is. We've left him ever so far behind.
Oh, he'll be here presently. Remember, poor Papa is not as young as we are, and we did come over a rather difficult country.
But how thoroughly delightful it is to be so entirely alone. Why, in all probability, we're the first human beings who ever set foot on this enchanting spot.
Except a mermaid. It's the very place for mermaids.
Who are only human beings down to the waist.
And who can't be said strictly to set foot anywhere. Now, tail, they may, but feet, they cannot.
But what shall we do until Papa and the servants arrive with the luncheon?
So we're quite alone here, and the sea is as smooth as glass. Suppose we take off our shoes and stockings and paddle.
Stop, ladies! Pray stop! I had intended not to intrude myself on your notice in this alarming costume, but under these peculiar circumstances, it is my bounden duty to inform you that your proceedings will not be unwitnessed.
But who are you, sir? Speak.
I am a pirate! Oh, ladies, do not shun me. This evening I renounce my vile profession. And to that end, O pure and peerless maidens, O blushing buds of ever-blooming beauty, I, sore of heart, implore your kind assistance.
How pitiful his tale. How rare his beauty.
How pitiful. How beautiful.
Not one maiden here whose homely face and bad complexion have caused all hope to disappear of ever winning man's affection. To such an one, if such there be, I swear by heaven's arch above you, if you will cast your eyes on me, however plain you be, I love you. However plain you be, if you will cast your eyes on me, however plain you be, I love you. Not one.
No, no, not one.
Not one.
No, no.
Yes, one. Yes, it is. Surely prayed, take heart of grace. white sympathy exclaim, leave him from your terror, play at other games, leave him here together. Her case may any day be yours, my dear, or mine. Let her make her hay while the sun doth shine. Let us compromise. Our hearts are not of leather. Let us shut our eyes and talk about the weather.
Yes, yes, let's talk about the weather.
Today we must not lose our senses. Men who stick at no offenses will anon be here. Piracy's a dreadful trade is. Pray you get you hence, young ladies, while the coast is clear. May befall. Their father is a major general.
Yes, he is a major general.
Yes, yes, I am a major general.
What is a major general?
He is hurrah for the major general.
And it is a glorious thing to be a major general.
It is hurrah for the major general. Hurrah for the major general.
Yes, I am a major general.
You are! Hurrah for the major general.
And it is a glorious thing to be a major general.
It is! Hurrah for the major general!
I am the very pattern of a modern major general. Of information, vegetable, animal, and mineral. I know the kings of England and the coast to fight historical. From Marathon to Waterloo and all the categorical. I am very well acquainted, too, with matters mathematical. I understand equations, both the simple and quadratical. About binomial theorem, I'm teeming with a lot of news. Let me see, lot of news? Oh, yes, I have it. With many cheerful facts about the square of the hypotenuse.
Many cheerful facts about the square of the hypotenuse. Many cheerful facts about the square of the hypotenuse. Many cheerful facts about the square of the hypotenuse.
For my military knowledge, though I'm plucky and adventurous, has only been put down to the beginning of the century. But still, the matter is vegetable, animal, and mineral. I am the very model of a modern major general.
Still, the matter is vegetable, animal, and mineral. He is the very model of a modern major general.
And now that I've introduced myself, I should like to have some idea of what's going on.
Oh, Papa, we...
Permit me. I'll explain it all in two words. We propose to marry your daughter.
Dear me.
Against our will, Papa. Against our will.
Oh, but you mustn't do that. May I ask? This is a picturesque uniform, but I'm not familiar with it. What are you?
We are all single gentlemen.
Yes, I gather that. Anything else?
No, nothing else.
Papa, don't believe them. They're pirates. The famous pirates of Penzance.
The pirates of Penzance? I've often heard of them.
Yes, all except this gentleman called Frederick, who was a pirate once, but who is out of his apprenticeship today.
Yes, but wait a bit. I object to pirates as sons-in-law.
We object to major generals as fathers-in-law. But we waive that point. We do not press it. We look over it.
Ah, an idea. And do you mean to say that you would deliberately rob me of these sole remaining props of my old age and leave me to go through the remainder of life unfriended, unprotected, and alone?
Well, yes. That's the idea.
Tell me, have you ever known what it is to be an orphan?
Oh, Daniel!
Here we are again.
I ask you, have you ever known what it is to be an orphan?
Oh, orphan.
Yes, orphan. Have you ever known what it is to be one?
I say orphan.
Orphan! Orphan! Orphan!
I don't think we quite understand one another. I ask you, have you ever known what it is to be an orphan? And you say orphan.
As I understand you, you are merely repeating the word often to show that you understand me.
I didn't repeat the word often.
Pardon me, you did indeed.
I only repeated it once.
True, but you repeated it.
But not often.
Oh, stop! I think I see where we're getting confused. When you said often, did you mean often a person who has lost his parents, or often meaning frequently?
Oh, I beg your pardon. I see you mean frequently.
Ah, you said often frequently.
No, only once.
Exactly. You said often frequently, only once.
Oh, I'm telling a terrible story. It doesn't diminish my glory, for they would have taken my daughters over the billowy waters if I hadn't in elegant diction indulged in innocent fiction, which is not in the same category as telling a regular terrible story.
Although a dark career sometimes involves the crime of stealing, we rather think that we're not altogether void of feeling. Although we live by strife, we're always sorry to begin it. For what we ask is life without a touch of poetry in it. A pirate rules protect you, and honorary members of our band we do elect you.
For he is an orphan boy,
and it sometimes is a useful thing to be an orphan boy.
Oh, master, hear one word, I do implore you.
Deceive me.
Away, you did deceive him.
Oh, do not leave me.
Oh, do not leave her.
Away, you grieve me.
Away, you grieve
me. I wish you'd leave me.
Please, you'd leave him.
Glorious army of which I have the honor to be a major general. Let its standard fly.
Hail, Papa! Hail!
All hail to our pirate trade. Up the Jolly Roger!
Act Two of the Pirates of Penzance. We are among the ruins of a chapel, with ancestral tombs all about us. There is a moon overhead.
Cannot you reconcile it with your conscience to say something that will relieve my father's sorrow?
I will try, dear Mabel. But why does the general stay night after night in this drafty old ruin?
Why do I stay here? To escape from the pirate's clutches. I describe myself as an orphan, and I am no orphan. I came here to humble myself before the tombs of my ancestors and to implore their pardon for the disgrace I have brought upon them.
But you forget, sir. You only bought the property a year ago, and the stucco on your baronial castle is scarcely dry.
Frederick, in this chapel are ancestors. You cannot deny that. I don't know whose ancestors they were, but I know whose ancestors they are. And I shudder to think that their descendant by purchase, if I may so describe myself, should have brought disgrace upon what I have no doubt was an unstained discussion.
Oh, Father.
Be comforted. Had you not acted as you did, reckless men would assuredly have called in the nearest clergyman and have married your large family on the spot.
I thank you for your proper solace, but it is unavailing. At what time does your expedition march against these scoundrels?
At 11, and before midnight, I hope to have atoned for my involuntary association with these pestilent scourges by sweeping them from the face of the earth. And then, my Mabel, you will be mine.
Are your devoted followers at hand?
They are. They only await my order.
Then, Frederick, let your lion-hearted escort be summoned to receive a general's blessing ere they depart upon their dread adventure.
Sir, they come.
When the foeman bears his steel,
the rat,
we uncomfortable feel,
the rat,
and we find the wisest thing,
the rat,
is to slap our chest and sing,
the rat,
for when threatened with the mute,
the rat,
and your heart is in your boots,
the rat,
there is nothing brings it round like the trumpet's martial sound, like the trumpet's martial sound,
the rat,
yes, but you don't go.
They go,
yes,
forward,
for the pirate's lair. Oh, joy unbounded! At last, I may atone in some slight measure for the repeated acts of theft and pillage of which, at a sense of duty's stern dictation, I have been guilty.
Frederick.
Who calls?
Your late master.
And I, your little Ruth.
How dare you face me? Don't you know I have doomed you to extermination?
Oh, have mercy on us.
Hear us before you kill us.
Left our pirate fold, we tried to raise our spirits faint, according to our custom old, with quips and quibbles quaint. But all in vain the quips we had, we lay and sobbed upon the rock, until to somebody a head of something paradox.
A paradox!
A paradox, a most ingenious paradox, with quips and quibbles heard in rock, a stand to beat this paradox.
A paradox, a most ingenious paradox. A paradox.
For some ridiculous reason, to which, however, I've no desire to be disloyal, some person in authority, I don't know who, very likely the astronomer royal, has decided that although for such a beastly month as February, 28 days as a rule are plenty, 1 year in every 4, his days shall be reckoned as 9 and 20. Through some singular coincidence, I shouldn't be surprised if it were owing to the agency of an ill-natured fairy. You are the victim of this clumsy arrangement, having been born in leap year on the 29th of February. And so, by a simple arithmetical process, you'll easily discover that though you've lived 21 years, yet if we go by birthdays, you're only 5 and a little bit over.
Dear me, let's see. Yes, yes, with your 5 figures to agree. How quaint the ways of paradox that common sense he gaily mocks. Though counting in the usual way, here's 21 I've been alive. Yet reckoning by my natal day, yet reckoning by my natal day. I am a little boy of 5.
He is a little boy of 5.
The paradox, the most ingenious paradox.
My word, this is most curious, most absurdly whimsical. 5 1/4. No one would think it to look at me.
You're glad now, I'll be bound, that you spared us. You would never have forgiven yourself when you discovered that you had killed 2 of your comrades.
My comrades?
I'm afraid you don't appreciate the delicacy of your position. You were apprenticed to us
until I reached my 21st year.
No, until you reached your 21st birthday. And going by birthdays, you are as yet only 5 1/4.
But you don't mean to say you're going to hold me to that?
No, we merely remind you of the fact and leave the rest to your sense of duty.
Oh, don't put it on that footing. I implore you not to insist upon the letter of your bond, just as the cup of happiness is at my lips.
We insist on nothing. We content ourselves with pointing out to you your duty.
Well, you have appealed to my sense of duty, and my duty is only too clear. I abhor your infamous calling. I shudder at the thought that I've ever been mixed up with it. But my duty is before all. At any cost, I will do my duty.
Bravely spoken. Come, you are one of us once more.
Lead on. I follow. Oh, horror.
What's the matter?
Ought I to tell you? No, I cannot do it. Yet, as one of your band...
Speak out, I charge you, by that sense of conscientiousness to which we have never yet appealed in vain.
General Stanley, the father of my Mabel.
Yes.
He escaped from you on the plea that he was an orphan.
He did.
It breaks my heart to betray the honored father of the girl I adore. But as your apprentice, I have no alternative. It is my duty to tell you that General Stanley is no orphan.
What?
More than that, he never was one.
Am I to understand that to save his contemptible life, he dared to practice on our credulous simplicity?
Our revenge shall be swift and terrible. We will go and collect our band and attack Tremorton Castle this very night.
But
not a word. He is doomed.
And, Mr. Lovett, all is prepared. Your gallant men await you. What, my Frederick in tears? It cannot be that lion heart quails.
No, Mabel, no. But a terrible disclosure has just been made. Mabel, my dearly loved one, I bound myself to serve the Pirate King until I reached my 21st birthday.
Oh, but you are 21.
No, I've just discovered that I was born in leap year. And that birthday will not be reached by me until 1940. And so, farewell.
Tonight I quit these walls to stop my soul at pulse, but when stern duty calls, I must obey.
Say, Frederick, say,
they have no claim. My duty's named to stop my soul at pulse, but when stern duty calls,
say,
I must obey.
I'll be of age. And then, my love, I'll return and claim you. Swear you will be true to me.
I swear it.
Farewell. Farewell.
Buddy and divine, we are Timothy and Simon. And anything but blind.
Sergeant, approach.
Hold.
Young Frederick was to have led you to death and glory.
That is not a pleasant way of putting it.
No matter. He will not so lead you, for he has allied himself once more with his old associates.
He has acted shamefully.
No, you speak falsely. You know nothing about it. He has acted nobly.
He has acted nobly.
Dearly as I loved him before, his heroic sacrifice to his sense of duty has endeared him to me tenfold. But if it was his duty to constitute himself my foe, it is likewise my duty to regard him in that light. He has done his duty, I will do mine. Go ye and do yours.
Very well.
This is perplexing.
We cannot understand it at all.
Still, if he is actuated by a sense of duty...
That makes a difference, of course. At the same time, we repeat, we cannot understand it.
No matter. Our course is clear. We must do our best to capture these pirates alone. It is most distressing to us to be the agents whereby our erring fellow creatures are deprived of that liberty which is so dear to all. But we should have thought of that before we joined the force.
We should.
It is too late now.
It is.
Not engaged in his employment.
His employment.
Or maturing his felonious little plan.
Little plan.
His capacity for innocent enjoyment.
And enjoyment.
Is just as great as any honest man.
Honest man.
All feelings we with difficulty smother.
Smother.
When constabulary duties to be done.
To be done.
Oh, take one consideration with another.
With another.
A policeman's lot is not a happy one.
Oh, when constabulary duties to be done, a policeman's lot is not a happy one. Happy one.
Hush, man, hush. Did you hear that? The pirates are coming.
Pirates!
A light inside. The Major General comes, so quickly hide.
Yes, yes, the Major General comes. Yes, yes, the Major General comes.
Yes, yes, the Major General comes. Tormented with the anguish, dread of falsehood unatoned, I lay upon my sleepless bed and tossed and turned and groaned. The man who finds his conscience aches, no peace at all enjoys. And as I lay in bed awake, I thought I heard a noise.
He thought he heard a noise. Ha!
Now all is still.
Lord, my Lord, please, that gentleman, his life is over.
Frederick, hero, joy, rapture, summon your men and effect their capture.
Frederick, Mabel!
Beautiful Mabel, I would if I could, but I am not able.
Telling the truth, he is not able.
with base deceit. You'll work upon our feelings. Revenge is sweet and flavors all our dealing. With courage rare and resolution manly, for death prepare, unhappy General Stanley.
If he to die unshriven and unyielding, will no one in his cause a weapon wield?
Yes, we are here, for hill and roof and field.
Advantage you contrived, but your proud triumph will not be long-lived.
Don't say you're orphans, for we know that game.
On your allegiance we've a stronger claim. We charge you yield. We charge you yield. In Queen Victoria's
do.
We do. We charge you yield in Queen Victoria's name.
Away with them and place them at the bar.
One moment. Let me tell you who they are. They are no members of the common throng. They are all noble men who have gone wrong.
No Englishman I'll move that statement here, because with all our faults, we love our house of peers. I pray you pardon me, ex-pirate king. Peers will be peers, and youth will have its fling. Resume your ranks and legislative duties, and take my daughters, all of whom are beauties.
Oh, wandering one, though ye have surely strayed, take heart of grace, your steps retrace. Oh, wandering one.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have just heard William S. Gilbert's text of The Pirates of Penzance with the immortal music of Sir Arthur Sullivan. The script was adapted for radio by George Maynard, and the music was directed by Harold Sanford. The Great Plays series is a public service feature of the National Broadcasting Company, a drama guide giving complete background material for the Great Plays by Blevins Davis, who arranged for the series, is available to our radio audience at the cost of 25 cents. Send coin or money orders to Columbia University Press in care of Great Plays, Columbia University Press, New York City. Consult your local library for reading material on the remaining great plays of the series. Next week at this same hour, the second Mrs. Tanqueray will be presented. The cast for today's performance was as follows. The Pirate King was played by Walter Preston. The part of Frederick by Colin O'More. Samuel was Steele Jameson. The Major General was John Cherry. Harry Donahue was the Sergeant of Police. Margaret Daum was Mabel. Edith was sung by Helen Savage. Ivy Scott was Kate. Isabel was sung by Carol Dice, and Ruth by Alma Kitchell. And Harold Sanford directed. Robert Waldrop speaking. The Great Plays series is presented by the National Broadcasting Company, RCA Building, Radio City, New York.